You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. In one hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two drops that are very dear and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that the first drop is a tear that falls from the eye of the person who cries out of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second person is a drop of blood that falls from the body of the martyr. Before that drop even touches the ground, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of that person's sins. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two eyes, two different types of eyes that will never enter into the fire of hell. The first is that eye that spent its night guarding the Muslims as they rested. And the second eye is the one that cried in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are seven people who will be given shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on such a day that there will be no shade other than that shade. And the last one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is a person, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, a person who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خَالِيًا alone. Either that can mean that he was surrounded by no one and he had no motive to show off. That person was crying solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even though that person may be surrounded by people, خَالِيًا can mean his heart is alone. You can be surrounded by the world, but your heart is engaged in something of its own. And that person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while being in that state, that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes the person cry. The act of crying is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because tears are connected to the heart. They are a tarjuman, they are interpreters and translators of the emotion and feelings that the heart is experiencing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cry abundantly while making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while reading ayat of the Quran. As I shared with you the other day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading the ayah of Surah Ma'idah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. When he read this ayah of Surah Ma'idah, O Allah, if you wish to punish them, they are your servants. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried so much. He cried so much. You wonder, why is it that we read ayat of the Quran and nothing happens to us? We raise our hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing happens to us. Where is the disconnect? Why aren't the eyes and the heart connected anymore? What's happened to the heart that it's lost touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a question. And this is something that we need to go back and reflect over. My shaykh used to always say that the word in Arabic for eye is ayn. And in Arabic, that very same word, ayn, is also used to make reference to spring, water that comes from the ground. And he would say that water that comes from the ground is only called ayn as long as water comes. But the second the water ceases to come out of there, it's just a dry land. At that part, it's no longer a spring anymore. Similarly, the eye is only considered an eye as long as it cries in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the eye loses its ability to cry, at that point, it's no longer an eye. It's just a dry weight that's on your body. The water of the spring has the ability to purify the body of external purities, just as the water of the eye has the ability to purify a person from internal purities. The water of the spring has the ability to extinguish the fire of this world, just as one drop from the eye has the ability to extinguish the fire of the hereafter. Where are those people gone who would cry out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When they would hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts would tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When the verses of the Qur'an would be recited to them, their faith would increase. If you ask me, where are those eyes gone? Where are those hearts gone? The truth is that they've minimized. And many of those people have slowly, slowly left the world. It's because we have lost our ability to reflect. We've become very superficial. We don't look into what's happening in life. We don't look into how favorable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been to us. You know, and I was mentioning this a few days back, we've become the type of people who just go with the current. But then when we get hit by the wave, we start crying. When the people leave us that are beloved to us, we start crying. When the great bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us are gone, that's when we start crying, when it's actually late at that point. Become people of reflection. Someone once asked a scholar, how can I learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said to him, Al-Abara, Abara bil Fath means tears. Al-Abara min al-Ibra. That tears are only a result of reflection. Once a heart loses its ability to reflect, tears will stop. Because the two are connected. Now when I talk about crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not talking about people who have tears on demand. There are some people, they could be having ice cream and they'll start crying. They have this ability to just start crying whenever, wherever they are, whenever they want to. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about crying and tears, this is not the physical dropping of water from your eyes necessarily. It's a kayfiyah, it's a state of the heart. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked by a companion, O Messenger of Allah, if I can't cry, what should I do? My eyes are dry. I'm the type of person who never cries. Tears don't come out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that person, فَإِن لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَكُوا. If you can't cry, then at least make the face of a person that cries. Present yourself humbly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha shares a narration that one night the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home after Isha Salah. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this narration in his tafsir, also narrated by Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah from Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day came home after Isha Salah. He was lying down next to his beloved wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he said to her, Aisha, if I have your permission, I'd like to spend this night with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that for a moment. When we are praying Isha Salah behind our Imam, and the Imam is reading the Quran, we think to ourselves, Ya Imam, hurry up, we want to spend the night with our wives. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, O Aisha, I want to spend the night with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, I know you want to spend the night with Allah, but I would like to spend the night with you. However, I'm going to put you ahead of me, do as you wish. She says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he started praying. And he prayed and prayed and prayed for a long period. And then he started crying. She said, فَبَكَى حَتَّى بَلَّتْ لِحْيَتَهُ, until his beard became soaked in tears. فَإِذَا سَجَدَ بَكَى حَتَّى بَلَّتِ الْأَرْضِ. He cried when he was in sajda until the point where he got up from the sajda, there was a patch of tears on the ground too. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished off his prayer, Aisha radiallahu anha said, he came and he lied down next to me. And I didn't want to say anything to him because he was in a spiritual zone. He was on something. So I didn't want to bother him. She said, he lied next to me quiet until the adhan was called. Bilal radiallahu anhu came to the door to invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Fajr Salah. He would come to receive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stepped out of his home, Bilal radiallahu anhu asked, O Messenger of Allah, what happened to you? I can see you're hurt. Something happened. You've been crying a lot. What's bothering you? And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bilal, there were some ayat that were revealed, and since their revelation, I just can't stop crying. And Ibn Kathir narrates this hadith under the commentary of that ayah. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ardi ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Then the ayah came. He continued reading until he came to the ayah. ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته. Ya Allah, whoever you send to the fire of hell, you've disgraced that person. وما للظالمين من أنصار. And there is no one to help a person who is oppressed, who was an oppressor. An oppressor, a person who oppresses cannot be helped. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. No one can help that person once Allah has decreed something for someone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept repeating that ayah, O Allah, whoever from this congregation goes to the fire of hell, they've been disgraced. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart did not want a single person just did not want a single person to go to the fire of hell. One Sahabi, he was reading the ayah of the Quran, of Surah Jathiyah, ayah number 21. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَهُ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ That to those people who committed wrong and did wrong and committed sins during their life, those people whose lives were full of horrible things, do they think on the day of judgment Allah will allow them to stand with the true believers? And the Sahabi, when he read this ayah, he cried and cried and cried, because he was worried that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed towards him and said, "Oh, corrupted man, stand away." The scholars, there's a famous narration from Fudayl bin Iyadh when he read Surah Yasin. He cried and cried and cried when he came to the ayah, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call to the masses of people, "O criminals, stop hiding behind other people and come aside and make your own group." What if you and I are in that group? Is there not a fear of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how angry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be? Fudayl bin Iyadh then said that more than the punishment of the Day of Judgment, I fear in my heart standing in front of Allah knowing that Allah will be angry with me. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ When Allah will give that person his book of deeds in his left hand, he will say, "I wish I never received my book of deeds." يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ Only if death was the end of my journey. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ All of that wealth came in no hand today. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ My kingdom destroyed me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ Hold this criminal and chain him and take him to the fire of hell. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ Allah will say, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ He never really believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ Didn't care about anyone but himself. Poor people were hungry. He was worried about his food. Didn't care about the poor people at all. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمِ Just as you were the friend of no one in this world, today no one is interested in being your friend today. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shares these beautiful ayat of Surah Haqqa, very vivid description. I don't stand here to put fear into your heart. Rather, why make the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one of fear when you can make it of love today? Think of all of the favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should we not be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet himself said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Afala akuna abdan shakura?" Should I not cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of thankfulness? And I wanted to share something very interesting. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes in his Zadul Ma'ad that there are different types of crying. He says there are 10 different types of tears that come out of the eye. The first, he says, is buka'ul khawf. It's the crying of fear. A person is afraid of someone, that's why they cry. The second, he says, is buka'ul rahma. Tears that come out due to mercy. Buka'ul muhabba. Tears that come out due to love. Like a parent holding their child. They're crying. They don't know why they're crying. But the reason why they're crying is because of love for their child. Number four, buka'ul farh. Tears of joy. Just as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu started crying when the Prophet said to him, "You will be my companion during the migration." Number five, buka'ul jaza, which means tears of fear. Some, you know, you hear lightning very loud and your heart thumps and you start crying. Tears come out of your eyes out of being terrified. Then he says, buka'ul huzn, tears of grief when someone is very sad and they're grieved. Buka'ul khawf, tears of being frightful or being in a position of weakness with dhu'f. Number eight, buka'ul nifaq, the tears of hypocrisy. Buka'ul nifaq, tears of hypocrisy, what's this? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, that you cry with your eyes while in your heart you actually have no fear at all. You know that tears on demand I was talking about? This is what Ibn Qayyim calls buka'ul nifaq, tears of hypocrisy. Number nine, he says, buka'ul musta'ar. These are tears that are hired. And back in the day, what they would do is that when someone would die, they would hire these people that would come and cry. And the reason why they would hire these people is so that anyone that walks past would say, "Oh my God, look at all these people crying. Someone important must have died." So this is what you call, again, you know, tears for hire. And then he says, there is buka'un min khashyatillah. Tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How long has it been that our eyes have remained dry? How about this Ramadan? We try to find that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These tears will only come if you search deep in your heart for that love. You are desperate for that love. You understand that you without the love of Allah, a fish without water. Just as the fish cannot exist, how will you and I live without the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he sat in front of the Kaaba and wrote a beautiful line of poetry. He said, Ya aankhe khushk hai ya Rab, inhe rona nahi aata. Sulagte daag hai dil mein jinhe dhona nahi aata. Oh my Lord, my eyes have gone dry and they've lost the ability to cry. As a result of that, I have these burning stains in my heart that I just can't wash away. Until when will my heart remain dark? Until when will my heart remain stained? The Sahaba, a Sahabi, he read the ayah of the Quran in Surah Mutaffifin, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On that day, mankind will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he cried. He cried and cried and cried until he fell. Because he couldn't imagine what would it be like standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being ready for that, just not being prepared. What will it be like? Will Allah be happy with me? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be angry with me? I close with sharing one story with you. Some years back, I had the opportunity to go for Hajj, and we took a group. And that particular year, actually every year when we go for Hajj, we have a habit that after Fajr Salah, we do breakfast together. That particular year, there was one young man with us. And we were waiting for him after Fajr Salah in the lobby to have breakfast. He didn't show up, so I told the group, you guys go have breakfast. When he comes, I'll bring him. So I waited in the Hilton lobby until finally that brother came. When he came, I asked him, what happened to you? He said to me, Sheikh, if I tell you what happened, you won't believe it. So I said, test me. Tell me what happened and maybe I might believe you. He said, well, what happened was, after Isha Salah, we had dinner. I went to the hotel room. My roommates and I, we all fell asleep. 2 hours later, I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. I thought to myself, there's 4 hours left till Fajr. What am I going to do? I didn't want to wake up my roommates because they were exhausted. So he said, I told myself, you know what? I'm just going to go to the masjid. He did his wudu, put his slippers on, took his bag, took his musalla. He walked off to the haram. His words, not mine. He said, this was the first time in my life I was going to the masjid out of my own will and not because someone else forced it down my throat. How many of us have had a bad experience with Islam? How many of us have had a horrible experience with the masjid, with an imam, with a teacher, with our parents? And because of that bad experience, we blame the religion. This person said this was the first time someone wasn't forcing me to go and I was going because I wanted to go. He said, I entered into the haram. I went to the third floor and I sat at the balcony where I can see the Kaaba in front of me. I didn't know what to do. So he said, I turned to the guy to my side and I asked him, hey, what are you doing? That person said, I'm doing tahajjud salah. So this buddy of mine said, well, I don't know what tahajjud is. Can I join you? He said, okay, let's do it together. So they prayed tahajjud together. After tahajjud salah was over, he asked this guy, what are you doing now? That person said, I'm going to make dua. So my buddy asked him, can I join you in dua? He said, no, now you're on your own. I have to make my own dua. You make your own dua, inshallah. So this friend of mine, he said, you know what? Can't be that hard making dua. So he said, I stood up. The Kaaba was in front of me. I raised my hands. You know, college kid, young, energetic. You know, you can conquer the world. He said, I stood there with my hands raised. And that's when I realized how great of an imbecile I was. I didn't even know how to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My tongue had nothing to say to Allah. I was such a foreigner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does a friend ever get bored of speaking to another friend? Only with strangers do you have moments of awkwardness. And he said, I was awkward. I didn't know what to say in front of Allah. I had my hands raised and I had conquered the world. I had accomplished so much in college and school and everyone in the community respected me. But when it came to my relationship with Allah, I had nothing to say. He said, I stood there and I cried and cried and cried and cried over my own state. I felt like a hollow trunk. Nothing was inside me. The world only saw my outside while my heart was hollow. He said, until Fajr Salah, I cried and I made one dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I asked him, what dua did you make? He said, the dua I made was, Ya Allah, it's taken me so many years to cry in your love. Today was the first time that I started, Ya Allah, never let these tears ever stop again. He said, Sheikh, I tasted the sweetest thing in the world. There was nothing more sweeter in the world I could have tasted than those tears. I always experienced tears to be painful, dark, you know, heavy. But this felt like someone lifted a weight off my chest. He finished off by saying something, which was very interesting. I know many of you guys who are grand muftis will give fatwa of kufr on him, but relax, take it easy. He said to me, he said, Sheikh, last night it's as if I had a date with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a really messed up thing to say, I agree, right? But try to catch, look over the words and try to catch the emotion. He felt it was his moment with Allah. It was his intimate moment with Allah. Someone asked the scholars, how can I talk to Allah? Read the Quran, Allah will talk to you. Make dua to Allah, and you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. This is Ramadan. Raise your hands and talk to Allah. Spill your heart out. No one's there to judge you. No one's jealous of you. You ask Allah, Allah will give you. File your complaints to Allah. As Yaqub alayhi salam said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He just made complaints to Allah. Oh Allah, this is the pain that I have in my chest. I'm going through a lot. I just want to tell someone, and Ya Allah, you're the person I'm going to tell. So with this, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this month, a month to be where we find that one moment. Trust me, that one tear that's sincere for Allah will wipe out your fire in the hereafter and will be a testimony for you that will be so strong that I have no doubt at all that Allah will give you the highest rank in the gardens of Jannatul Firdaus. Insha'Allah al-Aziz. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.